This morning's passages from Zephaniah and 1 Thessalonians about the coming day of the Lord, the day of judgment, for us the second coming of Christ, are a part of what scholars call apocalyptic literature, dancing around its edges. Much of that literature is a vision of the end of the world as we know it, when God brings judgment to bear on the injustice and idolatry that fill the world. Zephaniah thinks it will be a disaster for everyone. Paul says that people who are in Christ need not worry, but everyone else had better start worrying because the day is coming that will expose all the things done in the darkness. And then in the gospel reading, there is the outer darkness at the end of the parable when the master comes back and demands an account of his trusted servants. We Anglicans have always had a hard time with passages like these. When Archbishop Cranmer was putting together the first prayer book in the 16th century, he left a lot of these passages out of the list to be read in church on Sunday. He didn't have the Bible's great apocalypse, the book of Revelation, read out at all. To most Anglicans, the thought of the end of the world and God's final judgment is unwelcome. We want a tranquil world with the seasons turning in peace. We work to make that daily world as just and kind-hearted and fair and decent as we can. So it has been hard for us to pay attention to passages that warn us of the violent end of our world. And because of that, we Anglicans have sometimes lacked vision of radical evil, evils that we faced, and thus perhaps sometimes did not face them. So I think we'd better pay attention to passages like this, if only because Jesus certainly did. What can we learn? First, I want to say that the daily, undramatic work of loving our neighbors is a good thing. Honoring and caring for them is right. It is our business to take whatever we've been given in daily life and develop it for the good of everyone as best we can. But one thing that passages like today's do is help us to realize that we do not finally belong to our neighbors any more than we finally belong to ourselves. We belong to God and no one else. Everybody does, whether we or they know it or not. You and I may not be right in our ideas or perfectly righteous in our lives, but we know the one who is. And that is fundamental to our existence. Apocalyptic language helps us get clear on that. For the hour of decision will come. On what ground finally do you stand when all else falls away? Jesus wants us to know who we are and whose we are so that when everything else comes to an end in death or in the last judgment, the final ground of God's love will hold. Second, we're right to resist evil as best we can. We don't want evil to grow monstrous in power, and that means waking up to the possibility that it can. We are facing grave threats as a nation. I don't need to tell you which ones. We are facing grave threats as a world, not least in the tragedies and violence playing out in Israel and Palestine. Indeed, we are taught to pray by Jesus himself that we not be exposed to the power of overwhelming evil. In the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, means exactly that. But the day or the year of disaster has come in the past and will come again when the darkness grows enormously powerful. Hitler, Stalin, slavery, genocide can and have led to apocalypses in the life of our world. It can happen, So be alert. Bring God's justice and love into play whenever evil is still not fully grown. And that leads to a related point. We will meet evils that for all our alertness and work, we can't remedy. Years ago, one Sunday morning, it was my arduous privilege to lead the children's chapel. And the children and I were talking together about blind Bartimaeus and his cry, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And I told them that Jesus answered Bartimaeus' prayer and gave him his sight, and that we should pray too. But one young girl was there, hearing me, but shaking her head. "It doesn't work," she said to me. "Someone can have cancer and you pray, but they don't get better." Well, she is right. Neither prayer, nor chemotherapy, nor counseling, nor diplomacy heals all. Evil can be more powerful than we are, great evils and small, evils that infect our daily lives or that threaten the whole wide world. Passages like today make one thing clear, however. One virtue of apocalyptic language. Evil's time is limited. It will not rule forever. God is greater than evil, and God's justice and love are infinite. God will come to end the darkness and set things right. We are to wait for God's kingdom in hope and faith and patient endurance, doing what we can, but trusting in God even when evil exceeds our grasp. God's kingdom will come when wrong will be set right forever and a stop be put to all evil. Now, that was a third point, and homiletics professors always tell you never to go beyond a third point. But forgive me, today it happens. Because this is really the most important. That is why Jesus came, not only to teach and heal and start a movement, but to go into evil and to die. There are evils so great or so deep that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves or our world. What Jesus did was to go into that darkness and suffer its full pollution and horror right into death, and through that into God's eternal life. Jesus' death and resurrection are where the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love and life, first breaks in. Jesus, innocent, went into that evil alone and suffered it, and he turned it inside out when God raised him from the dead. The kingdom and the power and the glory that are his burst out of the catastrophe that was his death on the cross. Through the ultimate uncleanness to make all things clean. Through the ultimate sin to reconcile and make all things new. Through the final blasphemy to open all ears and mouths to eternal praise. That is why we are a people, not only who mean to do good and resist evil and love our neighbors every day, year after year, as we do, but a people of the cross of Jesus Christ once for all. For in him, the evil that desolates and pollutes the world has been pulled inside out and transformed into hope for us. And finally, one day into fulfillment in God's justice and love. It is in him that we can face the future, even face the last judgment. For the one who is coming again is the one who loved us and gave himself for us. It is for that that we give thanks this morning. It is for that that we make the sign of the cross on our foreheads in baptism and in the hour of death. It is in him that we can do our daily work and live our daily lives of service in confidence. In and through Jesus' death and resurrection, we know that no evil can finally overcome us or this world, for God is going to bring light out of darkness forever. Amen.